Welcome to the Closer's Corner Podcast, where we here at OutFast discuss all things real estate with a focus on tactics, strategies, sales, and what it takes to be a deal maker. Welcome to the latest episode of the Closer's Corner Podcast. My name is Greg Simpson. I'm your host, as always. And in today, it's actually been a minute since I've been back in the lab and back in the podcast room and back in the Closer's Corner because I just had baby girl Layla 2 weeks ago today. Yay! She has been an amazing baby so far, although last night was not a good night's sleep for the first time in 2 weeks for me. It's been really good. But good to be back here. Back in the podcast room today in the Closer's Corner, I have Jeremy Griffin. Jeremy and OutFast and me and Cloder and everybody have been working together for a little over 3 years now. Jeremy has been doing a lot of our marketing, you know, handle our websites, handle all our video vlogs. That's kind of how we started with the vlogs, and we'll get into all that stuff as we go. But he's also over the last 3 years become a really good friend in my consigliere.
There you go.
Consigliere Larry. Yep. We may have to put that in the pod.
Everybody needs somebody to talk to when they're close to losing
and vent. And yeah, exactly. There's plenty of been losing my mind over the last 3 years. That's always apparent with the baldness of my head. And when I started, I had a beautiful set of hair.
Beautiful head of hair 3 years ago.
All right, so yeah, this is a podcast that probably could go on for hours and hours and hours, kind of like our phone conversations and stuff. But we will try our best to limit it to our normal 25 to 30 minute podcast. No promises, listeners and watchers of this. So, Jeremy, let's talk a little bit of how we got even connected 3 years ago and what all kind of like has come together with all of this.
And there's probably there's a good lesson in there for everybody too. So. 3 years ago, probably a little over 3 years ago.
It's been over 3 years now.
Yeah. You were in the office over there with me, with somebody. We were just talking about wholesale stuff and all that. You know what I mean? Remember that? What's going on? Is the fire alarm going off?
That's the elevator.
Oh.
It's all right. That's why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
We just go. We roll.
It's like the fire trucks that go by at my place. You know what I mean? In the middle of the podcast.
Yep.
You just kind of own it. But anyway, so we were kind of kicking it and whatnot, and I really wanted to do some of this day in the life video stuff with you guys. And remember I just said the one day, I was like, screw it. I'm sending somebody over there with you. And you were like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, I'm just sending them. Don't worry about anything, okay? You don't got to pay me. You don't got to do nothing.
I do remember that now.
Yep.
Good Lord.
And I said, I'm just going to do it. And you know why? Because I was like, I need to find a way to start working with these guys. And I knew once you guys saw what the end product was like, it was going to be freaking magic.
Yeah.
And you knocked it right out of the park on day one, like I knew you would. Cloder was a little iffy in that one. I think if he was in it. My cousin was in that one, too.
That's right. Corey was
actually
in
that. But, yeah, and it came out great.
God, I remember, who was the filmer for that? Who was the
– I don't even remember, man.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know what I mean? But I knew – When I sent that over to you, I was out to eat someplace, and you called me, and you were like, dude, dude, are you kidding me? And I was like, bro, I told you. And I was like, all right, so, you know, let's get this figured out. And you were like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Because you needed to kind of see yourself in that.
Yeah.
In that medium. And that's, you know, there's kind of, I guess, two lessons there. And that you don't know what you look like with all this stuff until you start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see yourself on film doing these things because it's no different than an athlete that studies their own jump shot and watches film and things like that, right? So that's a good lesson in that. But also the other lesson is, you know, I just said, screw it. Like, I'm just going to do it because I know it's going to work. And if I hadn't have said that,
I'd never pulled the trigger.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then look at everything that we've built together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So sometimes you just got to roll the dice and, you know, try to do a few things and, you know, just keep your fingers crossed. And
I think that kind of goes with anything in business. And I think that really ties into what we've preached here and with TB Rhea as well. And with people who want to get started in the real estate business, whether they're the investor or agent side, is put in the fucking work and just put in the sweat equity is what I was trying to get to. Put in the sweat equity, whether you're going to get paid or not. And that's the thing I did when I first started. I put, I did, like I told everybody this, and if you haven't listened to this podcast long enough, you won't hear my story about Luke Weber, who's my basically my best mentor I've ever had in the real estate space. I basically project managed 5 or 6 or 7 projects for him for free for almost a full year before I even got the chance to do my own flip. Yeah. So like, but I got paid nothing, nothing, zero, other than I got a shit ton of experience. And it's the same thing. Just do it. Just do it and make it happen.
Do it. And people kind of sweat that a lot of times because they're like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah. But it's like, listen, man, you got so many hours in the week. You know what I mean? You can find the time to do some of this shit to further develop your skill set. And sometimes in certain scenarios, depending on what industry you're in or what you're trying to do, like you need another person to work with to develop that. And so, so sometimes you got to do the shit for free. You know, you got to build that portfolio, you got to build that resume, whatever it is. But you know, a lot of people convince themselves out of that a lot.
It's imposter syndrome.
They're just scared. Know what I mean? And it's completely normal. There's nothing, you know, abnormal about being nervous about change. It's totally normal, but you have to recognize it and then just shake yourself out of it. You know what I mean? So
we started 3.5 years ago. We started off with doing vlogs. You can still find those on YouTube. They're out there. I don't know if I want to watch them again.
I'll be honest with you. They're a riot, bro.
They are.
Yeah. I watch them every now and then still.
Yeah. They show up on the screens every once in a while here in the office too. And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
What a ride. And we're just, and it's very crazy thing is like, we're just getting started. But it's like, it kind of gave some social proof that we do what we say we're going to do. We do it. We practice what we preach on both the investor side, the agent side. And I think when we started that, gosh, that was 2019 that we started. That was it 2018. Maybe it's been maybe early 2019,
somewhere around there.
Either way, it's been 3.5-ish years or whatever. And we had like, I don't know, 8, maybe 10 agents when we started filming that shit. And now we're over 80.
It's a total brand builder. You know, when you do that, it's like, especially in real estate, you used to always hear everybody say, you know, like this was like late 90s and shit. And, you know, you got to have your picture on the business card. You know, helps them tie a face to the name and all that. Well, like what we do is that times 100. You know what I mean? Exactly. And it really is. And, you know, when I try to explain to people when we do things like that, there's not a lot of times a very definitive ROI immediately from.
We talked about it a lot.
A lot of the view count, you can get, if you just want to do something, you know, crazy, you'll get a lot of views. You'll get engagement and all that.
You mean like Jake Paul and those dumbasses? You know, no, not doing that shit.
You can, you know, exploit yourself to no end and become very popular when everybody has a platform. But with the vlog stuff is a brand builder, because what really shows what your actual brand is more than somebody literally seeing what you do, how you talk, how do you treat the people around you, what do you stand for, what are you doing? I mean, it's...
Well, it's the authenticity builder, you know, and that's the thing, is what's what made Gary Vee so famous, if you will, so... skyrocket and say all the real influencers, not these fake influencers on Instagram. The guys that are the practitioners, they hired videographers like you guys and others to literally follow them around and show how they operate on a daily basis.
Gary was on a tear with that. When he started that Daily V was when we started doing that stuff too, because I only saw like a couple of them and I was like, yeah, that's the ticket.
It is.
And we had kind of, I had always screwed around with it, but then he kind of just put the proof in it that... You know, because you got to remember, a lot of people, when you're talking to them about this, they respond with, well, what's the point of it? You know, especially like your typical film crowd and stuff. Well, what's the point? What's the arc? There is no point. Okay. Except you're going to learn and you're going to be fairly entertained in the process of it. And that's it.
But again, it goes back to the thing that you get out of it is the branding. It's the branding. And that's the different, like going back to the podcast I did a few weeks ago, was branding versus marketing. That's a brand play. That's not a marketing play. We may have been able to turn some of that stuff into some marketing pieces, but that is branding. Here's what we stand for. Here's how we operate. Here's what we do. Our values are. And here's the culture, right? All, it exposes and brings out.
Yeah. Not all marketing is branding.
Correct. 100%.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you could even argue it either way. Just the word brand these days is it's very vague, and you can move it in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, but in the traditional sense of the word branding versus marketing, like, yeah, it's not the same thing. Yeah. It's not even close.
Right.
You know, again, this is a logo. It's not a brand.
Right.
The brand is what this logo represents, right. Not the. This is not a brand,
right?
And people get upset. Oh, this! I need my logo to represent my brand. No, motherfucker, you represent your right. brand. You are the brand. I don't want to go down that too much right now, because that's the shit that we could sit here and talk about all damn day.
Yeah.
How did you make the transition from what you used to do into marketing? Because obviously I've only known you personally as the marketing. I know stories we've talked about of
prior,
but how did you go from that to this?
It was a really it was a slow process. I grew up doing construction and with contracting work, a lot of home renovation stuff with my uncle and whatnot, and by the time I was 20, I think it was 20, I had my own insurance and all that. Yeah, I've never had a job.
Okay.
With the exception of my uncle's crazy operation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that wasn't even really a job.
Been one of the crazies for a long time.
Yeah, that was more of an experience than anything. But yeah, I got my own insurance and stuff, and then I started going to night school because I realized I needed to polish my business skills, if you will. I'd realized at that point how much I didn't know. And, he ran things in an interesting manner. You know what I mean? We'll just say that. And I took this one class, this marketing class. And this guy would start off every class, he started off with, like, his stupid idea of the day thing. And he would have all of us write down a crazy-ass freaking idea. Stupid-ass idea. And he would then call on us, and we'd tell him what it is. And no matter what it was that somebody had written down on, you know what I mean? I want a camera that films and edits things automatically on its own, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that, right? He would know your distribution channels. Here's how you might want to brand it. Here's some names maybe you could pick for it. And just bam, 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 bam. And I would sit in the back of the class, and I was just like, this guy's probably never been broke a day in his life, you know? This guy is sharp. And I was like, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of decided to start going down that path. And, you know, and that kind of started to morph into me doing a lot of the home renovation stuff still, but like kind of starting to work with people in some different off freelance capacities, you know what I mean? Honing my skills and whatnot. And then I transferred down here to University of Tampa and got my degree wrapped up, and after I transferred down here, things started to really shift, right, into more of a 50-50 home improvement stuff, working with the companies and things like that, and it was a slow transition in that sometimes when you're trying to get going with things but you're not terribly certain what it is that you know, but you really know how to make money over here, like, because you still got to get all your bills paid.
Sure.
Right? And, you know, we've got a friend, right, that's over at Startup Street all the time, and he's about 23, 24, and he's in the same boat in that he really likes the stock trading stuff, but he's running his little pressure washing
right.
company, right? And those two things are in direct odds with each other. They don't really complement each other very well. And how do you make that shift? And you just got to yank the Band-Aid at a certain point. You
yep.
know what I mean? But, that's basically, you know, how it went. All of the lessons that I learned doing all that stuff in my early 20s is kind of my baseline then that I use for everything that we do now. Like, you know, like I say it all the time to people, and they're like, oh, man, you know, man, that's a lot of hours. But I go, listen, man, it's not like you're up on a roof, okay? Go put in 14 hours a day on a roof in 90-degree weather for months on end.
Yep.
And then come back and talk to me about what a grind is, okay? You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it was really helpful for the baseline and then just troubleshooting things and how do you be resourceful and all that
stuff. How long have you been doing the marketing exclusively?
Oh, I don't know what. Maybe I would say mostly exclusively for 10 years
okay.
maybe.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I had those handful of properties that I was kind of running type thing, and that was like kind of like a project, those 50 units that I got the opportunity to kind of do. But I got that thing running so good, I was only putting in like 5 to 10 hours a month on it.
Oh, wow. You know what
I
okay. mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I took one of the units in one of the complexes, and I turned it into a leasing office in exchange for the leasing fees for that complex.
Right.
Because I just wanted a home base and put the mail slot on there.
Yeah.
Had the handyman handling most everything, you know what I mean? And it was just easy peasy, and it mm-hmm. just went.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, I would say probably right around there maybe, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's hard to tell. I don't know. It's always been so mixed up for so long, and I never mm-hmm. really wanted to get 100% focused. I always said when I hit 40, I'm going to get 100% focused, right?
Yep.
And in the meantime, I'm going to try to do as much different stuff as humanly possible. You know what I mean? And that's why, like, I was running that manufacturing company for a little bit, and then the event company, and then you got the marketing company, and then the home services thing and all that. And it just expands your perspective. But it does come at a very steep price of growing any of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
yeah, we can talk about that all freaking day too, man.
But I'm glad with the way everything turned out. You know what I mean? And now these days, this is why I can just go walk down Armenia and walk into any place.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked in that industry at this point, and I can talk to them intelligently about their business. And it's very difficult to be an effective marketing person if you don't understand the business side of things and you don't understand the human side of things, right?
Exactly. That's what I was kind of going to transition into is that, like, one thing I think that is so different about you than a lot of marketing companies out there is that a lot of marketing companies work in our favorite word of freaking theory.
Yes.
In theory, this will do this. In theory, that will do that. But I don't know how your business runs, so I don't know how you're going to convert those leads that I generate you. And so that's where I feel like a lot of people fail when they hire marketing companies, is they hire a marketing company expecting them to 10x their business,
right
with leads and stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they do.
Right.
But maybe your closing strategy sucks. Yeah. Maybe your ingestion process of those leads sucks. Whatever. Your negotiating skills sucks.
There's a lot more to it. You know
and
what
so,
I mean?
But what you have done to us is also help us really fine tune a lot of that stuff to say, hey, look, you guys are, we can turn on a lead machine.
Right.
Who's going to convert them? Who's going to do that? How are we going to do this? How is it? Da, da, da. And it's like,
he is
the best, worst person at playing devil's advocate. And it freaking drives me crazy, but it's all part of the plan, but it's like, and it frustrates us all to a point. But that's a big difference when you hire you guys versus just hiring anybody. Anyone can turn on Facebook leads and Google leads and manage them.
Right.
But it's the operational aspect that you bring to the table at Startup Street, because that's why I think the name is so important of Startup Street, is because of there's more to a marketing company, more to a startup than just marketing and branding and blah, blah, blah.
There's only so many hours in the day. You know what I mean? And people's margins matter, right? People's capacity to do things matters.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I've been doing all this stuff for a long ass time now at this point, so I can write really good ads and come up with the creative and all that shit, but that's only part of it. You know what I mean? And everybody knows, and marketers, usually marketing companies, agencies, and we can even talk about like the big guys on Madison Avenue in New York City and whatnot, they tend to not last long with people. And it's just the nature of the game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? New people come into the company, they want to try something different, yada yada. And a lot of times, you know, when things get challenging, it's because it wasn't clear at the very beginning that this is not, and again, we'll go back to, you know, home renovation shit. This isn't we're putting on a roof, okay, mm-hmm. where we're going to pick out the color of shingles. I'll see you in 2 weeks, it'll be done, write me a check. This is a partnership,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can only perform as well as the people that we're working with.
Yep.
And if that isn't made very, very clear at the beginning of a relationship, it's a great way to make sure that everybody ends up frustrated.
And everyone fails, you know, or fails,
I mean? Exactly. Right? Or doesn't get the results quite where they wanted and whatnot. And, you know, it's difficult, but it's also highly creative. And, you know, we've got, I don't know how many, we've got probably 20 different clients right now. You know what I mean? 20 different clients, 20 different industries. Some of them are bigger projects. Some of them are smaller. But the fact that it's 20 different industries is freaking awesome, mm-hmm. right?
I think it's cool as shit.
And, yeah, and I'm
kind of jealous because I think that stuff is so fascinating to me.
Oh, it's great. You know what I mean? I absolutely love it, and I just love the game, and that's why I end up doing so much free stuff all the time, even still. You know what I mean? I had a
which also drives me crazy.
Yeah. he always breaks my balls about that. But like, I had a girl that just walked into the shop the other day, and she had some shorts and some pants, and she is trying to get them going. You know what I mean? And it's like, I freaking respect that. So yeah, I'll sit down and talk about, you know, inventory and SKUs and cost of goods and margins and all that with you real quick for 45 minutes. And here's a rough game plan. And this is what you need to get done before you can, you know, before I'm in a position where I can even think about helping you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's, I was telling somebody the other day about that with 20 different industries, you know, and they were like, you just love the chaos. And I'm like, the thing is at this point, it's not really chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you do it, the more you start to see
patterns,
and they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You can break them all up into about four different categories, right? You've got national products and local products and national services and local services. And you can put them all in those four quadrants, and depending on which one they're in, there is a lot of overlap with other industries.
I feel like that's why, like, business coaches like mine, Brad Sugars from Action Coach, right. Like, he has, like, his formula, and it freaking works.
Right.
You got Tony Robbins and what's his face? Oh, God, Richard Branson, these guys who own hundreds and hundreds of businesses in totally different industries all can do it because they're all the same.
Yep.
All it is the widget is a little bit different. That's why the e-myth was so popular back when it came out.
You gotta understand the uniqueness in the industry.
Yep.
If you're gonna really make it resonate, right? And that's where you get the ability to get into the weeds.
You guys are loud.
Yeah. Well, what else is new?
That's where you really get a chance to get into the weeds.
Yep.
And you know, kind of dive in on the deep end of the industries and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, once you've been doing all of it for long enough, you start to see all those patterns, and you know, and then you're putting your game plans together with people, and you have to keep the thing that I always keep in mind is that no matter what we're trying to do, we're working with other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And everybody is going to do the best that they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to recognize that. And the minute you start to kind of recognize things like that, it helps you to not get so frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I always say, like the next company that you're part of where you get out of the front of the company and get into the back of the company that isn't a mess will be the first.
Yeah.
They're all a mess.
Yeah.
This shit is messy.
All of it.
You know what
and
I
it
mean?
Always will
so,
be.
Yeah.
Even if you're Amazon, I guarantee you they're every single hour or every single minute of every day, they are putting out a fire somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how big you get or how many systems you build. I tell that to real estate professionals all the time, especially like wholesalers and investors. I want to automate my business. It's not fucking possible.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Right. We're all looking to improve processes.
Yes.
And all of that. But at the end of the day, the shit's always going to be messy. And when you start to recognize that it's just going to be messy, helps you to kind of set your expectations a little bit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
And I think that's why I hate the gurus, right? These guys, like, I don't want to name names, but these people that's like, I'm going to, for $9.97, I'm going to help you automate your real estate business.
Yeah,
guys,
okay.
It's just not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know.
All right. So I didn't know you had that many different industries. So besides real estate,
right.
Which is your favorite industry client-wise that you're working? I don't think the name of the client, but like, what's the coolest thing that you got working?
Right now, you know, I would put at the top of the heap, you guys, Core Elite Ops, the rifle
That's
company.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Those
yeah.
guys are freaking kicking ass over there. Josh is probably right now, if I had to name, I wanted to give awards out to people, right? And I was going to give you guys the innovation award
okay.
for what we're putting together here because I really do truly
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, that it is innovative as all as hell. But I would probably give Josh the hardest working guy award right
okay.
now because Josh has been going 7 days a week for years and has finally gotten that company up over the hump
mm-hmm.
where there are multi-million dollar deals coming in a lot.
That's cool.
You ain't going to land all of them, but no. when you start to get a lot of them, you know, you start to get
people
some
start
of
talking
them.
Though, too.
Exactly. So
yeah.
that's a really cool project, the 3D house printing, mm-hmm. The 3D concrete printing company. That's pretty cool. You know, and then we just always have a handful of other things. I've got a little fitness startup that we were working with. I got a telemedicine client that we were working with. I got another company that we're working with. This guy has built an entire business out of cleaning the lint traps and the exhaust pipes for dryers and houses.
Right.
The margins are great. He's been doing it for like 15 years. He's crushing it. And he's never put any effort into really building out the business.
Jesus.
So I'm working with him in that regards, and then we might be able to push him down the franchising because the startup capital required isn't terribly.
What, 10 grand probably
right,
for the,
you know what I mean?
A vehicle and some equipment.
Yeah. So we got that. You know, the salon clients. I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love it. A lot of people are like, oh, you should get niched down and. You know what I mean? And all that. And I'm like, man, I don't know a single freaking major agency or major consultancy, like a major one. Like not somebody that looks like they're crushing it on Facebook. I'm talking about like there's some groups around town here that are doing 400, 500 million in freaking revenue.
Yeah, you don't get that by niching down. There's only so many businesses to do that.
Exactly. And here's a newsflash. When you get signed with a contract with somebody and it's a good one, you roll with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People call me all the time. They just had a mortgage guy call me the other day. Hey, I'm trying to. Sorry, I can't do it. Adios.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, it's a huge conflict of interest for sure when you start niching yourself down because, like, my brother-in-law, he does marketing too, and he works with Chet's Pest, right? He's been working with Chet's for forever, right? And he's like, gets approached all the time. No, because if I'm going to SEO his website.
Right.
I can't bring on another SEO client for pest control. It's just defeats the purpose.
If they're geographically separate, you know what I
mean?
That's
different.
If one's in Florida and the other one's in Pennsylvania, you
that's
can
a little
do
different.
That,
but most agencies aren't able to handle that kind of capacity all across the country because there's not enough face-to-face time, even with Zoom and bullshit today.
Yeah, I mean, the big ones can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the big ones are working with companies that are all national anyways.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's that. I mean, it's always a wide variety of things, if you will. I've always enjoyed the firearms industry, obviously, with like the Drop Zone Gunner events and all that I put together and whatnot. Real estate's always fun. I've got a couple of people with some pretty cool apps that they've just put together that I'm going to.
Like the Dealmakers app? I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's actually – no, now that you mention it, yeah, that was one of them. I'm not going out to try to raise any money for that one.
Right,
we've already got that one done, right? But, like, I've got a couple of them I've been talking to, and they're pretty innovative platforms, actually. You know what I mean? I get maybe every month about 10 different people that reach out to me with different ideas and whatnot. Usually only maybe one of them is viable, you know? And then basically what you're doing is you're just looking at the viability of the company. And then you look at who are the people, you know what I mean? Who's the people behind the product? And usually at that point, I can kind of tell if something has a chance in hell or not.
And that's the thing. We can kind of transition a little bit into what we've got going on. But people invest in people, not necessarily products, right? Because they believe the people behind the products can actually make the money.
Right.
And so, like, that's why there's such branding. We talked about that, right? Brand loyalty, right?
Right.
I don't buy shoes unless they're Nikes anymore because I believe in the brand and the people behind it and what they stand for, da, da, da. It's the same idea with us, and what we're going to be doing here very shortly is people are going to invest in us and that we are
–
again, we've been putting out content for 3.5 years now that shows who we are, what we do, and how we do it, and why we're doing it, and we're doing it to change agents' lives.
Yep.
And that's the whole reason that we are doing this new launch of a capital raise is at the core of it is to change real estate agents' lives.
Right.
For the better going forward over the next however many years we are blessed to do this.
It's going to work out great. I had Brendan, you know, follow me around with the camera last week, and I talked a little bit about that stuff that we were putting together, and it's like I honestly know it's going to work out good. You know what I mean? I know what the market is like right now in the real estate industry. I know what we're putting together. So the product makes sense, and then the people behind it make sense. And it's, you know, it's the same thing as everything else. You just split it into two pieces. Operations, sales, and promotions, right? Operations and sales and promotions. Operations is, you know, is the product decent? And then can you actually run the company around it? And then do you have good people out there to get the word out? And, you know, that's why I think this is going to go really well. So.
Yep. All right. So.
What do you want to do with that little red ball there?
This is my clown of the week when I just play with it. So when I have someone like make a huge mistake, like the dumbass from Better.com, the mortgage guy, yeah. He won this clown of the week award twice for laying off his people the way he did it and then doubling down on like a dumbass. And then they just laid off more people again.
Round two?
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go down the. I don't have a clown of the week yet because I haven't been reading too much in the last couple of weeks. But I'm sure there's some out there.
I'm glad that you're back, my man.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's good to see you again.
Plus, I just like having something in my hand. I'm a tangible fidget guy. So, before we get out of here, I do want to kind of go into a little bit of what that thing is that we're doing here. And that is going into like the 401(r) plan and stuff like that. And so, you know, the reason I think that we have gelled so well over the last 3.5 years as people and as a companies together is that we had a vision of being the one-stop shop for real estate agents, right? Because it all comes down, all boils down to the real estate agents, the people, right? And so what can we do to, one, be different, and two, really separate ourselves from the competition and provide that extra value.
Yep.
Because like everyone's got, you know, a hard money lender they might work with, or they work with a particular mortgage company or a title and all along the lines. But the thing is that we wanted to always be the one-stop shop.
Yep.
So we launched property management
shortly
after we started working with you, I believe, or right before that.
It was right before.
Was it before?
When I first started talking to you guys, I actually had more doors than Cloder did.
Yeah.
You know, now I have zero. And he's got, you know, just freaking
325, 330, something like that.
He's just got oodles of them.
So then we launched that. We decided we wanted to do a hard money lending company a couple years ago. Now we got the mortgage company. Now we're basically wrapping all that shit together in the process of franchising the brokerage now because we've had some massive expansion. And so like all, you know, the importance of the vision, right, as a business owner, leaders, is key. And it's so cliche. Oh, you got to have a great vision and a great mission. And it's like, well, yeah, you do.
Right.
But it's all kind of coming to fruition. And now with this new launch of capital, we're going to be able to do that, right? So we're going to be able to provide a retirement plan for our real estate agents who either are here at this office, part of a franchise across the country, but they get the added benefit of not just how the real estate brokerage performs for their stock options and their stock that they can buy, they get the benefit of the house flipping company, the apartment complexes that we get to buy, the ability for us to write hard money notes and write mortgages. And so we're wrapping all of this into one big offering, which is so different than everybody else out there. Usually one thing might have one of those things, but now we're kind of wrapping it all into one. And when we're tokenizing this asset, putting on the blockchain, really becoming a tech-focused real estate company in general, it's going to be one heck of a ride the next few years when we get this going.
Yeah, it's really going to be something, I think. You know, and we talk about this, obviously, in all of our meetings, and this is what's been dominating all of our lives for the last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And, I think it's going to be pretty incredible. You know, once we get everything finished and we can actually start hitting the pavement and promoting and all that stuff, I'm really looking forward to it. I don't want to talk too much about it until we're ready to go. You know,
yeah, we're getting close though.
Yeah, we're getting really freaking close, and it's gonna be on. That's all I'm gonna say.
So. Yeah, I don't want to go too far into it, but it will be a game changer for the industry, for not just our agents, but mostly for them, but also people who decide to invest with us along for this ride. It's going to be awesome.
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Let's
here.
Roll, baby. Okay. Yeah, we're about at that time. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jeremy Griffin. Welcome to
the new co-host.
So we've been working together for 3 years, right?
Yep.
Looking back at 3 years ago, lessons learned. Man, I wish I kind of understood that. You know what I mean? This was an area of growth that I didn't see coming. What kind of comes to mind with all of that? I think that I have a decent understanding of a few things. But in terms of, you know what I mean, where you were 3 years ago, where you are now, what's the thing that stands out to you? What did you screw up the most back then?
Oh, I think the biggest thing was that it's kind of a combination of things. I thought that by just doing what we do, people would flock to us because we're so different. I didn't understand how to run a real estate brokerage, first and foremost. Had no clue. Just thought it was going to be really freaking easy. You know, you do some cool stuff. You do something so different as in adding the flipping aspect and the investment side of the business, and people will flock, and they didn't.
Right.
Some people did by osmosis. But realistically, it really came down to marketing for right. that and building out a process and a system for
getting
that.
Getting the name out there.
Getting the name out there more and really just hammering people and not really giving a shit if they didn't like our brand right. or didn't like our model, because we just basically gave the middle finger to a lot of people and said, if you don't like it, great. I still, and then we added 50 agents in a year. But that took learning and getting kicked in the teeth for basically almost four years of running a brokerage. And, you know, we were at 0 to 10, and that took about 2 years, because you have your attrition, obviously.
Yeah.
And then we got to 35 after four. It took 4 years to just get to 35, which just blows my mind. I thought we were doing really good at 35, and then we implemented some systems and processes for recruiting.
Yep.
And then
fix that website. Yeah.
So I think that the biggest thing is
KV Core has been a tremendous
asset
to it.
It has.
The website tightened up has been a tremendous asset. The lead gen follow-up that you've got going that is automated has been a tremendous asset. And I got to tell you, bro, like I would say 2.5 years ago, we've been working together for like 3.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And we started slamming out good content right out the gate, right? But it takes a minute to take hold.
Yeah.
And it was probably a good solid year, a year and a half, maybe 2 years, where I would be out and around and I would tell people what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know who the hell I was talking about.
I know.
Right? I gotta tell you, though, these days, I don't meet anybody around town. It happens once in a while, but I don't meet anybody really around town that understands what's going on around town that doesn't know
who we
about
are.
Our brokerage at this point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we've built a
good... We've made some waves for sure.
Yeah, we built a good little name for ourselves. And, you know, with the expansion, it was so funny. And this is what I was saying the other day. I was talking to somebody about the expansion plan for the brokerage, right? And they're like, well, how are you going to do that? I don't think anybody outside of Tampa has really heard about Outfast. And it's like, well, no shit.
Duh.
Okay? What do you think that's what the next step is?
Right.
Right? And...
But now we know what the hell we're doing. Now it's all okay. So we want to go sell in Florida in 60 to 90 days when we get our FDD back, right? Well, we're gonna start marketing now to sell them. But like, if we want to sell a franchise in Atlanta, Georgia, we know how to turn the shit on now.
Yes, exactly.
It's not that hard. Now that we figured out a whole bunch of stuff, like we can go turn on everything that we've done and just let it do its thing
start
over time.
Planting flags.
Yeah,
you know?
Planting flags, baby.
But yeah, I mean, we've really, you know. And I give props to you and Cloder and Kelsey, obviously, as well. I mean, you know, it's not easy to really build a recognized, even in a local market.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not impossible,
mm-mm.
but it's not easy. And it takes time, and you have to just keep going at it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And
yeah.
And that's what we do,
yep.
you know, is just keep it going, keep it moving. And, we'll see. We'll see where we're at here
yeah,
in 3 years,
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It's funny, you asked me that question usually, or I used to have like a really good pocketed answer for that, and it took me a second there to kind of realize, you know, because we used to get, you know, we still get our teeth kicked in all the time, but like I try not to focus on the L's anymore.
Right.
Except for when they are big L's and they, because I'm trying not to let them trickle up to me anymore.
Yes.
Thank you, Lauren. Oh, she's not subbed out. Thank you, Lauren, for keeping that off my plate. and lovely too.
Right.
But it's like, as you grow too, like you have to learn to delegate shit out, man. Like I can't, you know, I think that the best lesson learned too on that is literally trying to, as you grow and scale, you just gotta stop being, I had to stop being a control freak.
It's difficult.
It is difficult. And but it is what it is, and it's, you know, now having a newborn baby, it's like, figure it out, guys.
Well, and that's the thing too. So one of the things that you know, that I've come to realize with the delegation aspect in business and whatnot is no. Okay, so like nobody ever wants to hear this coming from somebody, okay? But when you delegate shit, and even if it gets screwed up,
oh, it's all on you.
Sometimes it's all on you, but guess what? It ain't the end of the world.
No.
Okay? And you have to be able to, you have to be willing to roll the dice that's going to happen. And guess what? You're going to end up with some people that are upset with you.
Yep.
And that is just the nature of business. And I don't care how freaking good you are at what it is that you do, people are going to get upset sometimes, and you can't let that fear of people getting upset stop you from doing that. And the reason why I said nobody wants to hear this is because, like, nobody wants to be the guinea pig, right? Mm-hmm. But it's got to happen.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, no one likes to be disliked either, right?
Correct.
And that's part of that's one of the major things that I learned from Cardone and Darren Hardy's of the world when they talk about, you know, Darren Hardy talks about it in Entrepreneur Roller Coaster, I think it was. Yes, Entrepreneur Roller Coaster, about how what it was, his epiphany moment of what we're talking about here was when he watched Obama get reelected.
Right.
He's like, I'm not political, I'm not making politics, but he talks about how he always loves watching the two speeches, right?
How different they were.
Who the winner every time, the winning president and the loser. But what hit him on that night was that when Obama won reelection against Romney, the percentage is still about 50% of Obama's countrymen still hated his guts.
Right.
But he's the most powerful man in the world. Do you think he gives a shit about – most presidents give a shit about everybody,
yeah,
right? But the point was, you're not going to make everyone happy no matter what. And the most powerful person in the world, half of his constituents don't like him. And so it's like you're going to have the same problem in business. Half the people who hear your brand, hear your product are going to go, nope.
Yep.
Don't like it. Don't care.
Yeah.
Sucks. And you have to just go.
Sucks. It's a mess.
Right.
It's all over the place.
But we're going after that 50% of people who will ride or die with us.
Yep.
And that's the whole point of business is you find your niche, if you will, and you ride with those people who love that stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And I know I have made waves in this marketplace and people don't like who we are.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah,
I used to.
That.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
Bye. There's the freaking door.
The
bye. See ya.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the Antoine Winfield.
Totally good. Yep.
Or the Tyreek Hill.
Yep. Exactly. You know? But so when you double down though on your branding and stuff, that you almost, you don't want it to happen, but it's inevitable that it's going to happen.
Yeah, because you know? The thing is, people are so radically different from each other.
Right.
And there are going to be people who have left this brokerage who it just really didn't vibe for them.
Right.
And that's fine. Good. Get out, because you're a cancer to me then.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have that mentality that that's whatever it is. But it's like, honestly, it hits hard for about a day or two, and it's just like, all right. And then somebody else walks in the door who maybe even a bigger producer
that's
who goes,
it.
I love you guys. Let's roll. And it's just like, let's go.
I get fired by about one or two clients a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I used to take it really freaking hard.
Heck yeah, man.
I used to take it really hard. And the reason why I took it hard was it was two reasons. It was one, I took it way too personal.
Same.
Right? But then two, and this is the kicker that I've only, you know, started to realize over the last handful of years. Sometimes when you lose a client, or you lose something in business, if your freaking cash flow was better, you wouldn't have been freaking sweating it, right?
That's a good point.
So get your cash flow up to the point where it doesn't matter
if
somebody fires you or not.
Yeah.
And that will really help you to kind of keep that perspective. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm in a place right now. And we only had one last year, you know what I mean? One fired us last year. And I'll be honest with you, without getting into the weeds on that, I'm really glad that happened. Because that individual was all in the news about 6 months later, okay?
Yeah.
And not for good reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was not a well-orchestrated PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes things happen for a reason, but
100%.
Yeah, that's the two things, you know what I mean? It's, you just have to – you learn to not take it personal, and then hopefully as the years go on, you get your business more established and the cash flows up so that even when things do kind of come and go, what are you going to do, you know? Yeah. So
100%, man.
Yeah.
We've been going here for a while. Like I said, we could talk about this stuff about 45 minutes or so already.
Yeah, it's 3 hours.
No. I don't want to turn into a Joe Rogan podcast here.
We should do that one of these days on some important day.
We should. Shannon and I have talked about doing like a whole podcast at the beach kind of thing.
Yeah,
like just
I'll
like talk.
I'll outlast Shannon. You can take that one to the bank, Shannon. You ain't got nothing on me when it comes to this, okay?
Anyway, obviously, guys, all Jeremy's information is going to be in the show notes and stuff like that. But if you wanted to give one parting shot to anybody out there who's, you know, this is a real estate podcast that's maybe getting started in the business or getting ready to scale up or something, what would you give them as a piece of advice? Watching what we've done,
right?
What would you give them as a quick piece of advice?
An individual agent?
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of being an agent, you're an independent contractor, right? And everybody always wants to try to find that magic pill, right? That is just going to make it all happen for them, and it's just going to take care of everything. Especially in real estate, and honestly, most scenarios, referrals are what drives your company.
Yep.
Okay. And you only get the referrals by delivering an insane level of service, okay? So for people that are just getting going and they're kind of like, yeah, well, I got to get leads and I got to get the leads and all that, there's a million and one things you can do to get leads, okay? If you have sold a house recently for more than it was listed, okay, and you craft that offer on the fact that there was a percentage increase and these people didn't even know it, okay? So what don't you know about yours? That will pique somebody's interest, okay? And that you got to cut through the shit, right? That'll pique somebody's interest. If you're just getting started and you tailor some of this shit to first-time homebuyers and you create that thing maybe so that it talks about, you could actually be paying a mortgage payment for less than what your rent is right now type thing, right? Mm-hmm. And really hone in on those guys. You can do all of that stuff. You could literally just – we did a freaking vlog – a couple years ago, remember we were just knocking on doors? You just went and started knocking on doors in one neighborhood that we were working on.
Okay.
And you ended up with a house out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was my biggest wholesale deal for a long time. Yeah, 30 grand.
Yeah, so people, you know, when I tell that to people, they're like, oh, I can't do that, though. That's too much time. Listen, man, you got 168 hours in the week, okay?
Yep.
You have 8 hours in this week to spend an entire day of walking and knocking on doors.
Yep.
And I promise you, and that sounds so rudimentary.
Yep.
It is. But
there is a fundamentals that you still have to freaking do.
Fundamentals with human beings do not change. They don't change. We've been on this planet for like hundreds of thousands of years at this point. When you go and knock and talk to somebody and you do that enough, you throw your line out there enough, you're going to find something, mm-hmm. you know, but you got to be willing to go out and grab it. So we're all looking for that
easy,
magic pill.
The easy button. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, though, where people get screwed up is that they do get the opportunity to work with people and they don't deliver 150 freaking percent for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't communicate as much as they should with them. They don't go above and beyond for them. And at the end of the day, that is your reputation. And the referrals, I don't care what industry you're in, man. Referrals are what drive everything. Happy customers.
Yep.
Happy clients. And that is, that is the only thing that you focus on, time will take care of what it is you're trying
and
to
do. And the cool thing about that is
I say that as a marketing guy.
Right.
Okay?
100%. Well, the thing is, like, you can't build your business on referrals unless you close deals, right? And you provide that service. But like the big dogs out there, they learn how to lead generate when they're brand new as an agent,
right?
So they can get those referrals over time. But do you think they turn off the lead machine?
No.
If one of my agents, I hear you say, I only work on referrals, you're a freaking idiot.
Right.
You are a freaking idiot because you will never have enough business by referral only.
When I say that, I should clarify what I was saying.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I knew what you meant,
yeah.
But go ahead.
I mean, you want your lead sources and all of that, okay? But the goal of your business, of your company, of your independent status, whatever, is always to deliver the highest level service that you have to deliver, service that you can sit back and say, I'm freaking proud of that.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise what ends up happening when that isn't the focus, and I have known a ton of people like this and they are sales machines and the leads just keep coming in and you keep chasing them and you're working and blah, blah, blah. But if you can get what it is that you do to that point where people are just wildly thrilled mm-hmm. with working with you, that's how you end up growing it. That's how you get stable you know what I mean, and all of that. So
yep.
that's what I meant by that. I'm not saying you shouldn't do any marketing or anything.
Oh, I know. I'm saying you should be doing marketing and never turn it off.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If you are doing marketing, right, we're going a little off tangent here, but that's okay because that's what we do. If you're marketing and then your face, your name, your phone number, your website, all that stuff is out there for the masses to see.
Yep.
And then you get the referral
right
from your friend. You're like, oh, yeah, I've seen Michelle's face all over town.
Yep.
Well, yeah, she's amazing. Oh, all right, then I'm definitely going to go work with Michelle. But like, that's the thing is that you can't not be marketing and branding to just hope that the referrals come in because you still got to sell, right? But if people have seen your face in marketing pieces, oh, yeah, she's been selling like hotcakes in this neighborhood. Yeah. And when, so the neighbor calls and says, oh, yeah, Michelle, I saw your stuff and my friend Sally referred you to me. That's almost a done deal.
Yeah.
So like that's what I'm saying is like don't tell me you only work on referral because if you're not marketing to prove to the masses that you know what you're doing.
Right.
Again, I digress. But anyway, man, love you. Been a hell of a 3.5 years, man. It's going to be about another good 5, 10, 15, however long however long we're blessed enough to do what we're doing. So
I'm glad to have you back in the office here, my man. It's good to see you. I missed Greg. I needed my Greg fix.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you guys found value out of today's Closers Corner podcast, please make sure you rate us, review us, like us, subscribe, all that good stuff. Wherever you're getting your podcast, make sure you are giving us comments and reviews and all. I really appreciate it because it helps us get the word out of what we're doing here over at Outfast Realty and Investments and Deployed Capital and all the cool stuff that we got going here. And we'll see you guys on the next episode of the Closers Corner podcast. Whoop, whoop.